Patricia Handclap. She does so much, guys. She just went to youth and everything. We say, hey, Patty, come up here and lead us. And one thing I know about Patty is Holy Spirit's with her, amen. She's not going to be just, she's not afraid of if it goes great or wherever it goes. She just starts praying to God, and you can feel it, can't you? Boy, it's awesome. And that's why I'm like, well, we'll lean on Patty, because I know Patty's prayed up, amen. So that was good today. I'm excited about today because I learned something. Does everybody need to learn something? That's the main thing. We got to be teachable, right? And all of the time, I feel like, how many people feel like this is your walk with God? Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh. Sometimes you're like, where are you at? Look, you're going through this flow, right? And what I continue to learn is as I get older, I don't know that I can stay in the peak with God all the time because it's just so welled up. I mean, I'd love to, but as people, it's just this ride that we're all on, seeking God, walking out our salvation, sanctification of becoming better. I want to be better. And you know what I figured out after 20 years of, since I've been saved, chasing God, following the Lord, I always will need to be better. And I'll need to be better whether or not, I'm in the Word every day and preaching every day and doing worship, or whether I'm not. Because the gap, I'm going to go here right quick. I had a preacher tell me this one time. Wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to tell you. If we're jumping across the Grand Canyon and the greatest track star in the world, I was going to say Carl Lewis for our old people that knew that he was a long jumper. Nobody knows him nowadays. But if he's, you know him, right? People that know him. Okay. If we're jumping the Grand Canyon and I'm jumping against him, I can't beat him. But the deal is we all are just as short of finding the fullness and the glory of God. Amen. So no matter how far I jump versus somebody else, and we do this comparative thing, we do this measuring myself against somebody else. Look, no, we're all filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. Well, we're going to learn some good things today, because I'm going through this week, and I'm going, I was really struggling because I didn't know where to go with this message. I was like, God, I don't know. I went through all my old messages. I was going through my blog posts, and I get to where, I mean, I chase this scripture, I chase that scripture, and I run around going, settle in on me, God, settle in on me, God. And he brought me something I've never heard or I've never understood today. And I believe he's asked me to come here and give you that today. And it's powerful. I believe it's powerful. I believe it's life-changing. I believe it's a part of what we all need to hear every day, what I'm fixing to preach on. So it's going to be good, okay? And it has nothing to do with it. God is going to move today. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I surrender, God, to your mighty hand today. God, you have a plan every day. Your plan is actually completed, and we just need to tap into it. We need to seek you, Father, and find it, because you've already found us. Whew. God, we're not looking. You've been looking for us. You're just waiting for us to walk in the fullness of the victory of your full plan of Jesus and where we need to go and who we need to be. And today, Father, I pray that we get a greater revelation of who you are, that every person listening is going to grow and going to change today, and especially me, because you've just revealed a lot to me today that I never knew. And God, it's going to be good, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to tell you something before we start. I'm going to see if you can grab a hold of this and see how many people really feel this way or are walking in this. Jesus Christ brings joy, peace, hope, life. He's our Redeemer. He's our Restorer. He's our Savior and Friend. He's also part of the Trinity, Father, Son, right, and Holy Ghost. He's God, okay? And if God is all those things and we trust him as Savior, we should be walking in joy and peace and hope and life, being redeemed, even if I messed up yesterday, being restored from my past, and he'll be my Savior and Friend today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. I'm going to need Jesus tomorrow. I can't get across that cane until he's not carrying me every day, no matter how good a jumper I become, no matter how much I preach, no matter how much I do. There's no difference between anybody, the lost that God wants to call home, and the pastor that's preached for 20 years. God loves us all, and we're all still falling short of the glory, and we're all seeking him to be sanctified, to be better. every day of my life, I started thinking, God, why can't I be preaching travel as much as I did 20 years ago? We had four kids, Mark. There's just a lot of life that we all go through. And I'm like, you're right, God. Why does the world make us want to justify ourselves against each other and compare ourselves to, oh, Joe's a little better than me. Someone's better than me. Somebody deserves more. Someone needs to hear this. Whew. He deserves more than I do because he's better than I am. Wrong. Someone needs to hear that. Somebody here is going, I don't deserve anything today. It's condemnation. We're going to get into this, and I'm telling you, we're going to get into something on condemnation that God showed me that I've never learned. And it blew my mind as I was researching it today. I searched it under pastors that I trust. I followed this word out, and I saw so many scriptures that exploded about what we're supposed to be doing, how the joy that we should be walking in, the peace and the victory. Every day that we walk in life, we should be operating in it, walking in it, believing it, but actually speaking it, changing the life of our own life, my wife's life, my children's life, and their future, because the proclamation of God is good. Amen? And if we're not operating in that, we're operating in the old and the condemnation of something that was never intended for us to ever be in. That was our fault. Wow. Now, either God's good enough to bring me joy and me walk in it and choose it every day, or he's not. He's either God or he's not. And I've operated in this joy a lot in my life, raising my children, seeking and trying to do the things that I'm doing. And I've seen the fruit of the goodness of God introduced in a way, and I've seen it manifest that I know how big God is and I know how it really is. That's good. Okay, we can go home. We're going to pray and go home. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to tell a story real quick as we get into this. I was watering our garden. We had the storms, right? Great rain. Praise God for all the rain, right? And something that happened, yes, it's good. Something that happened was this huge tree, it's been in my yard 100 years, fell over. Okay, it's a great big tree that had all the green vine in front of our White House there in Camargo. Been there 100 years. My great-grandmother's home is what we lived in and redid that. Love living there just a lot. The living room's where you can't put a TV in there because they didn't have them when it was built. So all the walls are designed either with a window or something. But our old house, and here's what happened during this. That tree fell over, and instead of me speaking negative, oh, my gosh, how much is that going to cost? What am I going to do? Call my insurance company. Look what it run. Look what it messed up. Immediately, we were just like, gosh, we're so thankful. God, it fell in the perfect spot. And they hit my fence, and there's a place in my fence that it broke, and that tree's laid over. And not one time did Carrie and I really go, we didn't bring condemnation into our lives and guilt and worry about this tragedy, this huge tree that fell over in my yard, because what we saw was the plants around it. I've been watering, all this rain came, and there cannot be more beauty around this tree falling down than I would ever imagine. Amen. And my eyes automatically are fixated on all the good that's around this instead of all the bad. You know, and my tree's laying over, my fence is broke. My dog sticked his head through the fence. We think it's funny. We may just leave it like that. no, we won't, but in a way, I'm like, you know, it'll be okay if my fence doesn't get fixed. Darren and them helped me clean it up, praise God. Clark Calloway helps everybody do everything. Thank you, brother, for all your help. But anyway, I say that to say we got a choice to speak life or death over our situations every day. We're walking in the goodness of God, or we're walking in condemnation. And something I heard about condemnation is going to go all over us today, okay? So the title of my message is Life and Death. There's two covenants of God in this Bible, and I've known them my whole life. There's the old and the new. And then I got something revealed to me that just stood out, and I thought, wow. And it's going to stand out in all of us here in a minute. So Carrie's going to put up a slide, and I want us all to see this because I've seen this online. We're going to bring up a picture in a minute. Okay. Can you go to the other picture first and come back? I want you to see that right there. And, wow, that's the Bible, guys. Some of you have probably seen this online. This is an impossible work of networking. This is from Genesis until Revelation. Okay, now I'm going to read to you what this says, and this is going somewhere. So stay with me because we're going to have something revealed that's good. Okay, so this might be the most amazing data picture you see in a lifetime. It shows the 63,779 cross references in the Bible. The white bars along the bottom represent each Bible chapter, Genesis through Revelation. The line's color shows a reference distance from the other. a cross references a scripture that references another scripture. Had the Bible been written by one person or at one time, this would be amazing. However, the Bible was written by 40 authors over the span of 1,500 years on three different continents. The Bible is complex, diverse, and intricate, and yet it has one unified message. Here's the key part. God lovingly is redeeming all who believe. Now, show that picture one more time. There we go. You can't make that up, guys. So you know what happens? How many guys have heard me say this? Here's one revelation I got. I go in here and it got so big. How many times, every time you've heard me preach, this gets so big I don't know where I'm going. And it just starts expanding and I'm going, okay, if I go down that road, I can't fit it all in here. Anybody that's really got after it and tried to put a message together, it goes to the next, it goes in. And it's just it's a living work that's full. We don't ever want to take pieces out of it. We want to be careful taking pieces out because it's going to take it from one place to another, but it's going to end up in God's loving hands. No matter how this, no matter the struggles you're dealing with today and things that you don't understand are unfolding, there's a loving plan drawing you to a loving God who sent his son to die so that you can have the joy and peace that you deserve every day of your life only because you chose Jesus. Because we deserve nothing. It's a free gift. Okay? So the magnitude of that was spoken, boom, right there, and it was done. Everything that happened right there. And all people have done is tapped into it through the Holy Spirit of God, and it's been flowing for years into that networked picture. I love that. I'm going to give a testimony right quick. New covenant leads to everlasting life and joy. The New Testament. I don't want to define that. We all know the New Testament is after Jesus, right? Because Jesus went to the cross, okay? He actually went down and got the keys to the kingdom of darkness in return, okay, and brought us the life back. Then we began the New Testament, okay? And I'm going to talk about that in a better depth today because that's all I'm going to focus on is what the Old Testament transformed into the new and what we keep dealing with and how many people are living in the old to the point that when people start really living in the new, it's so contradicting that it's not recognizable to certain people. You ever been around people that just don't get it? I mean, I get confused because I'm like, we're walking in stuff, and then the more you grow in God, and I fall way short. I can't get even close to getting on that canyon, but I'm going, wait a minute, I don't want condemnation. So when I hear that, I know that's not the New Testament. It's not Jesus, right? How many of us had condemning things happen or condemn somebody this week? Every day, people attacking each other, people going at it. I'm going to show you how the Old Testament is still running rampant. And I'm going to show you what the Bible tells us the Old Testament is versus what we're walking in the new. And this is going to be good, okay? So this testimony I had is that one day, Carrie and I found Jesus. We accept him as Lord and Savior, believe the word, and began to choose what it says above all things. We started, everybody's like, boy, Mark and Carrie did really good. No, God's done really good. And he's my redeemer. He's my protector. When I get up today, I got to believe that and unto the death. This is not the best in life for me. It's when I go home to be with the Lord. That's going to be my best in life, amen? All of us is, this isn't it. This isn't as good as it gets, even on our best day, okay? We begin to choose those things, not for our children, our future, their future, and we see the fruit of how much God can change and do things in your life all the time. Because in our house, when a tragedy happens, we've just got to where we automatically focus on, hey, that's pretty cool. That tree falls over, we don't really care. So, because we're not going to automatically choose death. You understand condemnation, shame, things that go, you know, and that's what we all need to learn. This is going to hit us hard. It's going to convict us all today because it convicted me. So anybody that's here today, God restores and redeems immediately. He can fix his things because if we've been condemners, if you have or have people around you that have been condemning things, we're going to try to stop that today. What God would say, let's not do that anymore. Let's proclaim the victory and let's understand it so that we can get truth and life and hope, not only for us but our children and beyond, right? I want it in my household. I want to be walking in the joy of the Lord and the protection. So I noticed that this tree fell perfectly where it could, did not hit my garage, not hit my house, not hit my pickup. I praise God for the tree falling in the right spot because it had to fall down someday. And as we picked it up and cleaned it up, I found not one single plant did we lose. Every one of them, we picked it all up, and there's the two rose bushes that were perfectly smashed. They're alive today because I watered them. Amen. And what I'm saying is if you just keep watering the Word of God in your life, and refuse to look at the shame and condemnation that the world tries to drag you into, you can keep walking in victory in the midst of trial, in the midst of storm, because storm's coming. Storm is part of it. But you know what the storm does? It drives me towards that loving God. So you ask the question, do I need the storm? I did. I still do. Because without the storm, I don't find Jesus. I'd still be wandering around making a fool out of myself, honestly, chasing stuff that doesn't matter. And we're not perfect. My gosh, I'm a long ways from perfect. But I would tell you, if I'd have never had a storm in my life, I would have never been set free. One of the things I can feel that's different about me when I'm in the church is I can feel the freedom of God through the Holy Spirit because I know He's my Savior today. And God wants everybody to get that message because it's more powerful than any of the junk that we lived in the past. And I fire away in the Holy Spirit before it, and it'll wear us out today because it's good, and we'll get so much of it. So I'm going to try to move faster, but I have to make us understand today that I gained a revelation of why God is good and what's driving us there. And that picture is going to help us get to that point, okay? So I'm going to go to John 3, 35 and 36, and this scripture jumps off me. And as I go through these scriptures, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that you gain the revelations and it shows you and you go, there it is, there it is. Because all I'm going to do is start putting scriptures, Old Testament and New, and I'm going to start showing you the same thing. And you're going to go, wow, there it is. Because that's what I started doing. And I was like, wow, this is good. It's not only good, we all need to hear it. We all know there's an Old Testament and a New, and Jesus changes the difference in that. But I've never had it explained in a way that I saw a pastor preach on it. And then when I sought it out for myself, it even became more of a revelation because it helped me just go, that's why there is an Old Testament. That's why there was a Ten Commandments. That's why God is good, and that's where we live today because this gap's getting wider. Oh, we're going to get into that here in a minute too. Okay, now let's get into this. The Father loves the Son, New Testament, and has given all things into His hand. All things is all things, guys. All things, okay? This blew up in me. Given all things into His hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That means right here and now. It's available to you in this room. And every day we should be walking in it. And if the more we start walking in that, we're going to look foreign to the world. Okay? I'm going to explain that. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Old Testament. Shout me down if I'm wrong. That's the word of God. It tells me if we do not know the Son, what are we operating in? Shall not see life, the kind of life we're talking about, the liberty of Jesus, the freedom that He came to set us free is what we're talking about. So what we're seeing is, but the wrath of God abides in him. Everyone who doesn't know Jesus is in the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the Old Testament. It's what happened when we separated ourselves in the garden. Amen. We became separated from God, and the only way we could get ourselves back is through Jesus. So what's operating around us each and every day when we go out there is the condemnation and the wrath of God that's actually driving us towards His Son and the love that sets us free. Wow. And when I started reading it, what this implies right there, if you don't know Jesus, you're under the wrath of God, which was the Old Testament, okay? Because the only thing that sets us free is the new. And I'm going to walk in that new every day of my life if I can, okay? So I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to continue to move and get through this. So I wrote down a note. Preparing this message, I gained an amazing revelation about the old and the new. The old was intended to bring condemnation. Because we had chosen to condemn ourselves. Because without God, we were afraid. I preached on that a few weeks ago. Well, if I don't abide in Him, right? So that fear, that condemnation, that eternal separation lets us go through the Ten Commandments, lets us figure out how to follow these laws, and it drives us right back to Jesus. And God had it finished work in the beginning. You see what I mean? Jesus was there, and the Word was with Him. In the beginning was Jesus until the end. And we get to get set free in that today. Okay, so here's one of my favorite scriptures. I'm gonna put this out there because we're talking about the transferring of the Old Testament to the New. I'm going to assume we know some things because when we go through here, we can't go through that whole deal. This is what happens to me. It gets too big. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go to Matthew 16, 13 through 19. And I want all of us to read this. And I'm going to say that this is you today. This is all of us today. This is the question that God's asking you. I've preached on this before, but it is my favorite scripture because of how powerful it is. Okay, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man, who do men say that the Son of Man am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist. So they were thinking he was John the Baptist. Elijah and others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" This is the question that God's asking us today, me and you. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To me, this is the most impactful, powerful revelation, transferring scripture in the Bible for me. Now, all about John 3:16, I get it. But right here, Peter recognized Jesus as Savior. He recognized him as the Son of God, and he proclaimed it with his mouth. And once he did that, so we're going to go on now. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you." So immediately he blessed him and called him by his name, which I believe is his birth name instead of Peter. I believe he called him by who he was when God made him. Right here. That's what people preach on this. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven," that's the Holy Spirit, revealed that to him. He had witnessed Jesus in his own life and seen it to the point he's the first one that proclaimed, "He's the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what? Oh, wow. "But my Father who is in heaven, and also I say to you that you are Peter." So now he calls him by name. Oh. "And on this rock I will build my church." The rock is the revelation of what he just did. Now get this. He wasn't building the church on Peter. God wouldn't build the church on a man. He's building the church that you sat in today on the revelation that Peter sat there and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I believe you are." You see what I'm saying? And right here's where it starts. He goes, "I'm going to build my church, and we sat here today because of this revelation on that rock. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Wow. "And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." I believe we have the power of God to bind things on earth and loose things in heaven based on the revelation of knowing him as Savior and trusting God. It can change our lives. It has to. It's the only thing that can. Because as we go through this, we're going to find out that without Jesus, we're condemned. We're living in the old. And the old was a condemnation. It was a covenant that was designed to drive us to the new from the beginning. And we're sitting here today, and all it's doing is driving us, and we have a choice. We're going to walk in this condemnation and this junk, and we're going to continue to follow through the things and the misery and the junk that we deal with and the things that we chase, or we're going to find out who Jesus is and get set free. I need set free more all the time. I seem like, who's the worst at putting their own chains back on? Don't have to raise your hand. "I'm doing pretty good, God." "Well, I'm just going to put these chains back on because I like this. The Bible even tells us that I like this junk, so I just turn back to it." No. Don't raise your hand. Amen. So we're all dealing with that, but God loves me. It's already done. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life because he's going to forgive my sins yesterday, today, and forever. What will drive me towards God is love, not condemnation of what I can't do. Somebody telling me that I'm a failure. Someone telling me that I'm not good enough. Someone disciplining you in the wrong way and making you do whatever and telling you that you're bad all the time. Do you know how many testimonies are in the church right now of people that just were heaped condemnation their whole life till the time that they grew up, they have a hard time ever believing that God loves them? Oh, how many of us are in this room? You don't have to raise your hands. Me? I mean, I've had some of that. I've had a pretty good life. I've been pretty blessed. Felt like I was raised good, raised in church. But, getting the fullness of what God's showing me as a pastor and a ministry is way deeper than that. It's way bigger than that to the point that you have to dig in to find it. Amen? The more we dig in, the more we find it. Okay, so I'm going to go to Romans 10, 8 through 12. I'm just going to keep putting some scriptures up here now. And as we walk this out, you're going to see what I'm talking about. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness." Righteousness is the New Testament. The one who believes into righteousness, I believe, into Jesus to become of his righteousness. You understand? It's not ever going to be my own. That cliff, that's way over there. What I get to do is type into the righteousness that's Jesus. So every time it talks about us getting into believing in the righteousness, we're believing in him. You can replace it with Jesus right there. Never is Mark going to be righteous, but Jesus is. And so what I get to tap into is that righteousness and be have joy and peace around me even if my trees fall down. I'm using that because we get it. Put anything in that spot, even if junk falls apart, right? Even if junk falls apart, there's where we're at. There's where we're at. And with a mouth, confession is made into salvation, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, condemnation. For there is a distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Okay, so I can tell you that everything that we're going to read about in here is going to point us to the idea that there's a New Testament. Jesus changed the route. The love of God is where he was driving us to from the beginning. Because every time we read about who Jesus is, it's going to remind us and tell us what the Old Testament was not, except for a place of condemnation and shame that God knew would drive us back to him. We made that choice. Mankind made that choice to be in this old covenant and have to try to work our way back to God. God loved us from the beginning. It was our choice to leave him. And he's still loving us today. Amen. Woo! So as we walk through this now, we're going to get to a place, and then I promise we won't be here till 2. No, it's all good. I hope you're getting something. Is everybody getting something out of this? Okay, so what I want you to do is feel that inside you today, because the Holy Spirit's here. And he wants you to change the way you think, change the way you speak, change the way you look at things. I just want to see the beauty in all things. Things are messed up around me. I want to see what's good in it. We all are sinners saved by grace. Okay? Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan. They chose to follow their own plan. As people, we want it to be about us, don't we? We're measuring ourselves. Mark's a little bit better. He gets to preach. No. We're all in the same place. Okay? We all need Jesus. I need him every day when I get up, and every day I'm going, God, I'm not very good. Has anybody else been there? Listen, if I start qualifying myself, then I'm disqualified in God's kingdom. There's no qualification that I could put out here that tells me I have any right to qualify myself as good. The Bible tells us that repeatedly, okay? Romans 3:23-28. And I'm going to remind us of this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation of blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness with a capital H. We're tapping into that. That's the New Testament. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Whereas boasting then, it is excluded. By what law? Works. No, but the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. I just got to trust I believe in him. Faith is a mustard seed. Just takes a little bit. That's all we need. But the law is driving me there. It's condemning me. I'll get up. I'll be able to do everything right tomorrow morning. I'm not going to make a single mistake. I can proclaim that all day long, and then the enemy will be like, oh, really? Has anybody tried that? That right when you think you got it going good, and then something happened, you're like, wasn't how I planned it. Yesterday I went to work on my field, and I went in the shed, and this is going to be funny. I went up to work on my field. I can't get in the door because I have the wrong key. I have to call somebody to help me in the door. I get in the door. He leaves. I get on three-wheeler. It won't start. Now so I waited for that. And then I get on the mower, and then I don't have any gas. And then so I went down and got gas. And you know what I did? I joyfully mowed the lawn because that's the option I had. But for me to show up, I didn't plan for the door to be locked. And I don't know why I'm going there. But you get my point. You wake up with an idea of how today's going to go, and we have a choice whether we get mad and blame everybody. Why didn't it work? Why didn't you put gas in it? Why does it not start? And then what are you? You're condemning yourself. You're condemning everybody around you. And you've just made yourself miserable. And I'm just talking about mowing the lawn. Let's talk about real issues. Because real issues are coming for all of us, okay? All have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Okay, I love this. Romans 8:1. Now, stay with me because we're going to keep saying old, new. All this is all going to be about all day is how the Old Testament is driving us to the love of God. And the power and the glory, the victory we should be living in. Okay, there is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit is the New Testament, and the flesh is the old. Okay, and as we go through this, we're going to see that. Think about the lamb. I don't know why I'm going, this wasn't it. But in the Old Testament, we had to take the best lamb, right? We got to sacrifice the lamb. We got to sacrifice the tearing of the flesh, the spilling of the blood, the tearing of the flesh, the spilling of the blood. And what replaced that was the Lamb of God. That I can boldly, because of that, go to the throne of God and say, here I am, Lord. Because without that, there's eternal separation and condemnation. Woo! I want to boldly go to the throne, amen? That's good. The Scripture implies that we are condemned before we know Jesus Christ as Savior, period. I love this because you know what I started doing? This is probably where I should tell you this. This is where I really gained the revelation because I kept going. I kept proclaiming, no, I'm feeling condemned today, God. And I kept, this is my personal life. So I'm asking God, I'm going, no, I feel condemned. There is therefore no, I'm just going to proclaim there's no condemnation in me because I know Christ Jesus. I'm just going to proclaim that. I shouldn't feel condemned. And why? I was going, okay, why? Why do I have these thoughts at times of condemning myself? Tell me I'm not good and I messed up. Who does it? Come on now. You know, so why am I condemning myself? God designed that condemnation because he was driving me to his son. And when I start making bad choices and I get over here and I get condemned, I'm not supposed to be condemned because the condemnation's the old. You see what I mean? And this condemnation's actually, now I start feeling condemned or I feel like I'm not good enough, I can walk over there and go, that's not true. Because I know the truth, I can change my mind. I used to just say, I'm just going to proclaim there is no condemnation. I wasn't sure why. The condemnation was the old. Okay? All right, so here, this is going to be the best part. I'm going to read what condemnation is now. Okay, condemnation in the dictionary, the expression of very strong disapproval, the action of condemning someone to the punishment, a sentencing. I am sentenced in this. You see where I'm at? Who feels heavily punished and sentenced in life? Who has felt that in your life when you grew up? Punished and sentenced. Almost as I had a young man come to me one time recently that had made some mistakes and needed my help. And when he did, I didn't even think about condemning him. And you know what else I didn't really think about was even punishing him. Because you know where I've changed in my life is one area I've changed. I knew he needed me to love him and he needed me to tell him the truth and he needed me to set him back on a path that was going to work out. Oh, I got ridiculed for that one too. I should have condemned him, punished him, and told him how bad he was. Right? There's a fine line there, though, guys. We have to discipline. But if I've learned with my children, I spank my kids. Parker's back there, spank Parker, spank Grace before. But I never did it where I didn't love them. Set them down and tell them exactly why. And told them I spanked them because of how much I loved them. And I put my lap and say, listen, Daddy wants to protect you. And I'm going to show you, tell you the truth in love. And kept giving them the word. There's two different types of that. You see what I'm saying? And I had someone... I have a hard time just condemning young people and telling them how bad they are because they messed up and making them feel shame and guilt and driving them the other direction because I'm past that in life as a Christian. Oh, amen. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. The problem is what I'm going to tell you is that's hard. We've all been there. They messed up. They need to be spanked. We need to do it. But at no point in time, I'll tell you this, I'm just using this testimony. Did my children ever feel, and they'd probably tell you, that I didn't love you? You see what I'm saying? Because love, trump cards everything. And that's the love of Jesus, okay? And at times I sit there and I go, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Who's been there? Oh, I look at that at times and I'm like, oh, I see it happening every time I feel somebody really condemning somebody, shaming somebody, and really just putting somebody down. Not that I'm not guilty, because at times I'm like, yeah, they made me mad. We all do that. That person shouldn't have done that. They did me wrong. We all want to get over in our flesh. But there's a point there that my spirit man goes, now, wait a minute. We're heaping condemnation. God didn't call me to be that person. He called me to forgive and move on. You know, I was going to preach on the stone. Whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. You guys know what I'm talking about. The woman caught in adultery. Jesus looked down the sand and said, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And they all just went away. Because it exposed all of their condemnation. But we sure do, as people, want to run around and say, I'm better than you, and I didn't mess up, and you did. The plank's in my own eye, and I can't remove it. The only time I've spoken this before that I've been able to minister the word is when I'm going to somebody, and I get the plank out of my own eye. Anytime someone's come to me, and the Holy Spirit says, this person, and I can feel it. I'm getting to a place in life I can feel it, that it's tangible. And I can tell someone's struggling with something. It's almost they always just start talking to me. And the first thing I learned to do is, let me tell you what happened to me. And I testify about the things that happened in my life. And I pull all the planks out of my own eye. I'm just, someone needs to hear that. Because someone's going to come to you one of these days and they're going to need your help. And I start being at gas station filling up the cars. The guy comes up, just starts spilling it on me. I don't know this guy. We're in surreal. We're down there, one of those team spirit deals. I just happened to have one of my books in the car, and he just starts spilling his guts. I go, well, let me tell you what happened to me. And I just start telling him all my, I start getting the planks out of my own eye that I'm not worthy and Jesus is. And I started getting myself in a rightful place of where I should be to be able to talk to this man about Jesus. That means that I'm not worthy. And that has to be done before you can witness. Because you know what they're going to hear? Well, guys, condemning me. No, you shouldn't be doing that, because here's why. And you get after somebody. That's the old, guys. We all do it. Oh, stop. We got to stop. When we get to the end of this here in a minute, we're going to go, wow, that's truth. We have to stop, and we got to start walking in this fullness of this victory. Because it changes lives for generations to come. When we start walking in that kind of freedom, the enemy's not going to like it either. Here's the deal. If we think we're going to walk and we're going to carry that cross and it's going to be easy, I'm not trying to scare you, because it's so good. Jesus is way better than any of the things the enemy can throw. But the more you start trying to carry your cross, there's going to be challenges and you're going to be called out, and the enemy's going to try to make you go back to your old self at times. But he has no power than what we give him. But we all can do that, right? Because we live in a busy world that's taking up way too much of our time. And it's too hard not to just still indulge in that crap. Excuse me, junk. Shouldn't say that. Junk. We're in Northwest Oklahoma, right? We know what it means. Okay. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to go. Did we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18? We haven't done that one yet? Okay, that's what we're going to do. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There's a new. All things have passed away. There's the old. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself. That's the reconciliation that we all need today. And if you already know Jesus as Savior, he wants us to start walking in the victory of it. I've always been preaching that, and God showed me why today. I've been preaching that for 20 years. Now, why can't people walk in the fullness of the victory? It's because they need to fully understand what happened. We were reconciled back to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm here but to tell you that we're reconciled in God. That's the gospel through Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else can reconcile how bad we are. But you know, I read a deal this week, and you know what I've learned about? I can go around the room and I can point out guys. I can point out people in my life, and you know what we share? I can for sure point people I've known, Clark, and I can go around Travis. I can go around all these people in here that have been in this, and I can tell you right now, what we share in common, brother, is the fact that we understand that we need Jesus, and that we can share our problems together from this position, we can go take on life with his victory. But outside the church, they look at the inside of the church and they say, they're all holier now and they're looking down at me. That's not the church of Jesus. The church of Jesus is people that have been through pain. They've seen it. They've seen the glory of God and the revelation of it. And they started walking in. And together we can share in our pain. And together we can share in our trouble and our struggle to just choose to not be condemned and walked in the fullness of that victory. That's what God wants for us. And that's what we share as the body of Christ and the family of God. That's the thing we share, is that we're not in this running a race to see who gets it in the front of the line. To see who's better than who. Amen, brother? God just gave me a gift to speak and to just motivate people. That's it. I don't even feel like a preacher. He just says, Mark, go tell my people, get fired up, because I just love God. That's it. So I get up and just tell you how much I love him. That's my call. But I think I'm right, aren't I? I used to, at one time I thought church was, we're all going to come in here and we're just going to, I just hope I make it in to heaven. No, I don't mean that bad, but we're in the Bible Belt. We're all scared to death. God doesn't love me. I messed up yesterday. Am I right? That's not what God has done here, okay? That's not what God's plan ever was. This condemnation we do to ourselves, okay? Okay, so did we read all that, babe? Yeah, the ministry of reconciliation. I've got to have her do this. Okay, so I love this scripture. I'm going to read it. Just a few more and we'll be done. Romans 8, 31 through 39. This is a powerful, it must be powerful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we're going to crack the pulpit, right? That's what we need to do today. Okay, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I started walking in that scripture. I walk up here only because of that. Because he's going to have to protect me. If God is for me, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Not God, right? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there. Leave that up, please, babe. So I'm going to stop right there because he's interceding for you right now. Right now, Jesus is sitting right now. It's the Trinity. Jesus is sitting there right now. And when God looks at my sin, he's looking at Jesus and not my sin. If we get outside of that box, we've missed the mark. And our sins are no different. Amen. It's good. I love this. Shall tribulation or distress, tree fallen, or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are like sheep to the slaughter. I love that. Accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, you got to get this, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty much sums it up, guys. So why can't we walk in it? Why can't we believe it every day? I can tell you that nothing's going to separate me from the hand of God, no matter what, based on that, can I? I know it. If you're really saved, you're truly saved, you believe Jesus. I love that. We are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's just choosing a position and saying, God, help me, take care of it, fix it. I need your righteousness and your victory and not my own. I'm a sheep to the slaughter. Was Jesus the sheep to the slaughter? Oh, to the point that makes us relate, doesn't it? Wow, that's good. Okay, so I can't even come close. So we're just going to do a couple more and I'm going to get to my wrapping up of this. No, I do have to do this one. 2 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. Now here you're going to see it again. Old Testament, New, what's happening to us. It's all throughout the Bible. Who also made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter, okay? I'm going to read it from my book here, from my paper, because I added to this. But if the ministry of death, he calls the law the ministry of death right here. Okay, stay with me. But if the ministry of death, he calls the law the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones was glorious, Ten Commandments. The laws written on stones with the finger of God was the Ten Commandments, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For the ministry of condemnation, now he calls the law the ministry of condemnation. Had glory, the ministry of righteousness succeeds in much more glory. There's glory in that, because that glory was driving us to Jesus so that he could fulfill God's love plan for us. Wow. Okay, so right there he calls it the ministry of condemnation. Now, let me ask yourself this. What percentage, when we all go out here and we go through life, are people just constantly condemning, especially the church? Well, so-and-so's not good enough. He shouldn't be preaching. So-and-so shouldn't be on the worship team or doing anything else. Listen, if we ever think that we're in a situation to ever be justified, that's not God. We're in the Bible Belt. There's nothing in the Bible that says that that's true. The worthiness of who we are only can come from Christ. We should get into that, stay in that, get up, pray in that, believe in that, speak it over our family and our children so that we can start having difference-making things happen in our life. The blessing of God, amen? Okay, Matthew 11, 13, I'm going to say this. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. This is true. John the Baptist came to announce the Lamb. Remember that? So I want you to see the transference right here. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. They prophesied condemnation. You're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. Thing we've all heard. Can't fall tingling, you're not going to get it right. You're going to get it right. Can you get it right? So at that point, John the Baptist came, and you don't have to put this up there, but he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. We baptized unto repentance. That's why John the Baptist came. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Wow. There it is. So that's the end of the law right there. He was and he said, if you guys remember, behold the Lamb of God who sets his people free. When Jesus walked in, amen. Because he was going to set us free, guys. We're free today. And that's good. Do we study the Old Testament? I'm going this real quick. Yes, we do, for many reasons. There's seven key reasons. You can go look it up. Why do we study the Old Testament? We've been through most of it. It drives us to God. It reveals those things to us. That need to be revealed. So I'm not even going to go into it. But if you want to, why do we study the Old Testament? It's because it's part of the whole process that leads us to Jesus, period. We need the Old Testament. The glory of that turns into the glory of God. It's all bound in like we looked in that picture. I'm going to skip that. The thing that I got from this is in 1 Corinthians 14:3, and then we're going to close. 1 Corinthians 14:3 really jumped out at me. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. In the Old Testament, they spoke condemnation, the people that prophesied. In the New Testament, prophesies speak edification, exhortation. Okay? Now I want to read Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Man, that's what we're supposed to be doing right there, guys. People I don't even know I fall in love with when the Holy Spirit's inside of me. Man, I just meet people and I feel the power of God. Everybody here I just fall in love with right now because this is who we're supposed to be. And I've learned to tap into the Holy Spirit inside of me. There's no one here. Guys, love is so powerful. And I just fall in love with people I haven't even seen or I don't really know. Whether they've wronged you or not. Because the wrong's not right anyway. I'll promise you. Okay. And good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day coming. Every day I should be coming to you and telling you great things, speaking exhortation over you, speaking uplifting things. Okay? So the three things that I got from the Bible, we should be edifying, exhorting, and comforting one another. Edification all day long. I was sent here today to edify you. To edify Anita and tell you it's good. Amen. God loves you. God loves you, Wes. Okay? Good plan, good things. And when I say that, how many people want that word? Yeah, we're supposed to be edifying each other, loving each other, and exhorting you, exhorting one another, and comforting one another. But it's hard because we just don't feel like we're worthy. I can go around the room and I can pick out every one of you, and under the sound of the Holy Spirit inside of me, I could call upon the name of the Lord and exhort and edify and comfort you that God's got you. But I came here today, Anita and Wes, to tell you guys that. Seek God, you'll know what to do. New things are good. I'm in new things all the time. I change things all the time. New things are good. He'll honor it, okay? You reap what you sow, okay? So working on, I get this, Parker's been working out. If you sow working out, you reap muscles. If you sow stretching, you reap flexibility. I need to stretch. I can't touch my toes. If you sow kindness, you reap kindness. You sow love, hope, peace, that's what you reap. You sow Jesus. Yeah, I want to sow Jesus. I'm here to sow Jesus today. I want Jesus to sow into my life. I need that. Okay, we're going to pray. So stop it. What God would tell us today, stop condemning your spouse, your children, your friends, and yourself. Who needs to quit beating yourself up? That was the hardest one for me, guys. I spent 8 years forgiving people in my life that I thought had wronged me, but at some point, what I had forgot to do was forgive myself. Someone needs to forgive yourself. It's okay. Forgiveness is for you, too. You need to. Stop condemning yourself. I'm good in God's eyes. I'm great in God's eyes. He loves me, and I'm going to reach the fullness of what He has for me today. Whew. So in that, I will tell you, God loves us all. And today, I believe that I have a deeper understanding of what walking the victory of God is. Because I went through it in there and I go, God, there's just so much of the Bible. I challenge you to research it for yourself, to see what the Old Testament was and see what the New is. And fully understand the change. And then ask yourself the question this week, when you go out in the world, how many people are living in the condemnation and the shame of the Old Testament constantly? You know what you do if you mess up? It's like wrecking your bike. You get back up and you go on. There's no one stumbled more than me. I knew Pastor Mark growing up. He stumbled a lot. And Dusty Clark, we stumble all over the place, don't we, Clark? I've stumbled, okay? It's not a license to sin, but God's love makes me want to get back on the bike and keep riding. God's love draws me to Him, not His condemnation. Not people telling me I can't do it, but people telling me I can. Edify is exhort one another. Tell each other, comfort one another. God is good. He loves you. He loves me today. Amen. We got it, right? Okay. Okay, stand up with me and we're going to pray. Whew. Just repeat this prayer after me. We're going to pray of salvation. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, just everyone here, just repeat this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins. Make a clean heart in me. Forgive me, for my future is yours, God. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we can get water baptized right here because that's our next step. Next week, whenever, we'll get with Pastor Mark and do that. Bind it and seal it. Edify one another. Here's the deal. If you'll just start loving. You and I barely know each other, but I'm going to tell you right now that I feel that you hear from God and God has you. God has a great plan for you still. He's not giving up. He's not. There's more for you, Will Bowie. There's so much more for you. God, your children. Man, that little guy right there. Edification, exhortation. I could go around and tell all you guys how much God loves you because I know I'm right. He loves me too. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for today. I thank you, God, that your plan is great. We're going to walk more in that victory, God. We trust you with the things this week, and as the things come, God, I pray that we would recognize what was revealed today to your people. God, that you're a good God and you love us. God, you sent your Son, and that's how we reconcile back to you. And I know I'm saved, and God, as we go forward, God, I just pray that everybody gains the revelation of the victory that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Good stuff.